let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. You know what? Pride's just around the corner, and there's going to be so many fun and amazing things to see, do, hear, experience. There's people putting on exhibitions and celebrations for you to go and enjoy. One of those people is here today. I'd like to welcome the Artistic Director of Root Division, Dimitri Broxton. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being on the show today. So tell our listeners a little bit about Root Division.
Yeah, Root Division is a creative ecosystem located in the SoMa neighborhood, mm-hmm. and we have three interconnected programs of exhibitions, arts education, as well as 20 artist studios. And our mission is really to support the next generation of emerging artists throughout the Bay Area.
Very cool. How long has it been in existence?
We are in our 24th year,
oh,
heading
wow.
into our big 25th. Very exciting time.
Wow. And when did you get involved with Root Division?
Yeah, I've been part of the organization almost two whole years.
So nice.
I'm pretty new in it and took over from a long-term director.
Okay. And what does an art director do at Root Division?
My job is really to make sure, I'll just cut to the chase, is really to just make sure that we have enough funding to stay alive and to run the programs that we do. But I get to work with an incredible staff. And our role is really to support artists by providing them with not only the space, but the resources, and the connections to be able to take their practice to the next level.
So do you have specific types of artists that you like to appeal to?
Yeah. I mean, our artists are really, wide range. So it's people who are, usually 21 and over.
Mm-hmm.
They've graduated from an undergrad degree. Other times they're much older. So we have an artist in their 50s right now, that because of raising kids had to take a while off from dedicating time to their art practice,
mm-hmm.
And is back into it. So, anyone who doesn't have gallery representation, is not a big SF MoMA, exhibiting artist at this point, and who really is interested in learning, how to take their career to the next level so that ultimately it's sustainable.
Okay. Well, what are some of the most common things that aspiring artists need help understanding, or just don't even know that it's a part of the artistic experience?
Oh, I love that question. Yeah. I mean, I think, first of all, it's space. We're in San Francisco where space comes at a premium.
Right.
And so we provide our studios either free for artists that teach in exchange for their space or at a deep discount. So much cheaper than what it costs, for any other place throughout the Bay Area. Or at least that's our goal at this point.
Okay.
And then besides that, people need mentorship. They need to understand how the art world works, how to market themselves, how to price their artwork. And then they need opportunities to show. And those all seem, hopefully to some people, it seems like those are obvious things. But for a lot of artists, they don't know how to access those resources.
I think that's something that you could say about artists throughout time, is they're focused on the art and not necessarily the ability to survive with their art.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very, and it's tricky, especially right now. And you know, the current climate and, you know, our financial situation, especially in the Bay Area where, you know, everyone is pretty much, you know,
broke.
A lot of us are living check to check.
Yep. So when you are mentoring these artists, are we talking about visual artists? Are we talking about sculptors, performers? What's the gamut?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. And I think you asked that a little earlier, and I don't think I responded. But yeah, we are primarily focused on visual artists.
Okay.
So painters, sculptors, photographers, anything that you would see on a gallery wall.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes artists do, you know, little forays into video production as well as performance. But that, you know, usually the performance is an add-on to their visual practice
and
not the focus of what we provide for artists, because we don't have a theater or anything.
Right. So I understand that you have an exhibition and some celebrations coming up for Pride Month.
We do, and we're so excited about that. We have an exhibition coming up very soon called Machismoso.
Mm-hmm.
And the exhibition, I'll start off with the explanation of the title. It's a combination of machismo, so hyper-masculinity,
mm-hmm.
In the Latin community, and chismosa, which is basically means gossip. And the exhibition is about, you know, these multimedia artists who are looking at, you know, queer, femme, and communal perspectives on identity through art such as crafts and painting and ceramics. And it's curated by a local curator and artist, Aleo Landera, who graduated from our program about 10 years ago and is a teacher at a high school in Oakland.
Very nice. And when does this exhibition take place?
It will be opening in the month of June, we'll have it up. The first public reception that we're having is on Saturday, June 13th. It's part of our second Saturday programming that we have every month.
Ooh.
And the exhibition, I mean, it's going to be amazing. We're going to have immersive community centered live drag performances by Sway Papi Churo and Sochiro. Plus also a high energy DJ set from DJ Kat Jabba. And really the exhibition is going to be energized through these things, but we're also going to have all of our open studios. So our 20 artist studios will be open for people to explore and meet our artists and actually see some of them working in real time.
Oh, very cool. And that's on June 13th?
That's on June 13th, from 5 to 7 p.m., and we don't charge admission at all. It's entirely free for everyone.
Oh, that's awesome. And where is it located again?
Root Division is at 1131 Mission Street. We're near the corner of 7th on Mission Street, right by the Nancy Pelosi Federal Building.
Okay. Now I want to hear more about this second Tuesday or second Saturday that you were talking about.
Yeah, so, you know, every single month we do a free second Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every quarter we do one that's an open studio. So it's not, usually you're coming in, you're just seeing the exhibition. And, you know, we have beverages. And it's a great opportunity for people to meet artists and to connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But every quarter, which this one in June, is we really go all out. And there's food, there's beverage, there's musicians. And you get an opportunity to actually go into the artist studios to interact with them, see what they're working on, you know, and I think it's a rare opportunity for people to see how art is made and to connect directly with these artists outside of an exhibition.
Very nice. And that's every second Saturday.
But yeah, this one in June is going to be particularly special.
Okay. Well, I have a question about the second Saturdays. What would you, in the past, is there a particular second Saturday that you had just a blast at?
Yeah, I mean, in December we did an artist market, and so this is an opportunity where we invited, I think we had about 16 vendors, and we allowed, you know, we gave them free booths, which is very rare for people, you know, who are craftspeople or artisans to not have to pay. And I mean, we had an amazing DJ come in during that day. We had Senior Sisig, their food truck was parked out front, and we had a live band out front. I mean, it was a great time. People were jamming into the night.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We're speaking with Dimitri Broxton from Root Division. Now, once again, for our listening audience, Machismosa, tell us when and where.
Yeah, so Machismosa is open. It opens at the beginning of June. And goes into August at Root Division at 1131 Mission Street in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And we really want people to come to our second Saturday on June 13th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Excellent. And then you talked about people teaching. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, I'm assuming that these are programs that you offer to your artists.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of artists want to go into teaching because it's a great way to sustain your career and also to stay active with art and teaching it to others. So we offer two different programs. One of them is our adult education program, and those classes predominantly happen in our space. These are, you know, ways for adults to learn about different art practices and kind of, you know, see if they're cut out for these. And if they're, you know, it's a really fun introduction. And oftentimes artists that take, or folks that take our adult education classes end up applying to be a studio artist because they catch the bug to be an artist.
Sure.
The other angle of our program is that we offer free art education for local San Francisco elementary schools, or I should say K through 12 classes. And so some of our studio artists go in to classroom twice a week, and, you know, they're collaborating with the classroom teachers to make sure that arts are integrated throughout the curriculum and that students get a hands-on experience with art, because that's, you know, San Francisco Unified has an amazing art department, but there still is not enough art teachers for every single school and every single student to experience art. And so it's a, it's kind of a niche or a hole that we're filling in for the district.
Excellent. So if people wanted to either take your courses or to invite people to come to their schools to teach, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, you would reach out first. Most people go through our website, which is www.rootdivision.org. Or, you know, you can reach out through email by emailing us at education@rootdivision.org as well.
Excellent. And is there anything you want to leave our listening audience with before we finish?
Sure, yeah. Just come see what we do. We're kind of in this little, you know, there's not a lot of businesses around us. And so, you know, we are a destination to come to. I mean, I guess I should say, actually, we're just a few blocks away from Civic Center. So there's a lot going on. But yeah, I think people shouldn't be intimidated by art, and having the ability to talk directly with artists and party with us. I mean, I think really opens the door for people to understand art and hopefully see how it impacts their life.
Excellent. And with that, Dimitri Broxton, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an amazing conversation.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go experience Root Division and the exhibition and all the fun stuff that's going to be happening every second Saturday. Coming up next, I've got some people from the Boys and Girls Club. So stay with us. Yeah. oh, I want to play Celia Cruz doing Yemaya Agayu, but I'm not, because we just played Gil Evans' Va Va Voom from Absolute Beginners, and the next guest that is here does important work, and I want to make sure we have every second that we can. I'd like to, there's a thing called Boys and Girls Club of San Francisco, and here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Amira Mensah. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, DJ Marilyn. Yes, so my name is Amira Mensah. I'm the membership and outreach specialist at the Boys and Girls Clubs of San Francisco.
And how long have you been doing that?
I have been with the org for a little over a year and a half now. Yeah, so I'm pretty new, but I feel seasoned, and it's been an amazing year and a half. Absolutely love what the org does.
So what brings you to the program?
Well, I'm very passionate about youth and youth development. So being able to work for an organization that really puts youth first and centers youth and is really cares about our children's future is something that really attracted me and something that I'm passionate about as well. I absolutely love this role because I get to talk to the community and talk to families about our amazing programming.
Okay, well, tell me about your
amazing. All I would be absolutely happy to.
Okay.
So I'm here to specifically talk about our summer programming. Our summer session begins June 11th, which we are extremely excited about. We have full day sessions across all of our sites in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
We have 14 sites, including our overnight summer camp, which is located in Camp Mendocino.
Okay.
So I'll speak more about Camp Mendocino in a second, but Our day programming is going to be hosted at our club sites, our clubhouses throughout San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
We have high quality, affordable summer programming, which is really nice. It's one of our few programs in the city that is as affordable as ours.
Okay.
While it's affordable, it's extremely high quality, which is what our families love.
Okay.
And why they keep coming back.
Okay.
We also have a formula of impact that we follow that is really what makes the program so special and why I personally am excited about it and definitely why our families love the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
So just to go through our formula of impact, we have good character and community engagement, job readiness with earning potential, academic success, and healthy lifestyles.
Okay. So let's back up to the Boys and Girls Club of America.
San Francisco.
I keep saying America, and it's
no
San Francisco.
Problem, yes.
So the Boys and Girls Clubs, when I was younger, it was like there was the Boys Club of America and the Girls Club of America, and now there are these local, obviously, cohorts that are around. So who was drawn to Boys and Girls Club? Like who are you going for? Are you going for troubled youths, youths that are poor? Is it just any youth who wants to do something?
Oh, yeah, we welcome all youth.
Okay.
All youth from all sorts of backgrounds.
And what's the age range?
Yeah, so we start from age 6 up through 18.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yes.
Like from kittens to cats.
Exactly.
Oh, very cool.
And a lot of our members have grown and graduated with us from starting at age 6 and have completed high school with us. So yeah, it's really amazing.
Okay. So, but you're so new that you haven't had the privilege yet of seeing someone who's gone like a full, like 12
years. Yeah, I haven't
years.
Seen the full cycle, but I have had the honor and privilege to talk to our youth who, like our alumni youth who have completed, a whole 12 years with the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Okay.
And also current graduating youth who have been with us for a while. While I'm new, I've been able to talk and engage with them.
Okay. And what are some of the things that they're really excited about in the programs?
Well, I can think of one youth in particular. She has shared with me just the mentorship that she's received at the clubs and how much that's meant to her. I think we also kind of fill the gap with some of our youth or families are working or just not available. There's not really an adult that they're able to lean on for academic support, career support, and then just overall emotional support as well.
Okay.
So we have dedicated staff that really lean in and are kind of that person for all aspects, you know, the important aspects of youth's life.
So they're kind of like the auntie or the grandparent.
Exactly.
That's sweet.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you ever have a kid who's like really troubled and down, and it feels like the Boys and Girls Club sort of kept them, you know, from going down into the abyss?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We have quite a few youth who've had that story and has really leaned on the Boys and Girls Club for that support, have, you know, kept them on the right track to be able to graduate high school and go on to college or other career development aspects, career training and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. So, like, let's say I'm a parent. I've got these kids. I've got to work. I vaguely heard of the Boys and Girls Club, but I don't really know what to do. What's that parent's first step to figuring out what to do with this child and what this program is?
Absolutely. Yes. So what I would say, because usually I'm the one out talking to families and newer families in the community. So. Mm-hmm. I always tell them, like, you know, of course, visit online and you can get all the detailed information on our website. Mm-hmm. But it's also really great to come into our clubhouses and do a tour and meet our dedicated staff and really see the day to day of what, you know, their child will be experiencing and how the club can support their child, you know, in order to have a great future.
Where are the clubhouses?
So, yeah, we have different sites across the city. Okay. I can go ahead and name our club sites.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So we do have school-based sites as well. So I'll just go ahead and name all of the sites.
Okay.
We have Gateway High School, Gateway Middle School Club, Don Fisher Clubhouse, Tenderloin Clubhouse, Columbia Park Clubhouse, mm-hmm. Mission Clubhouse, Excelsior Clubhouse, San Francisco Community School Club, Springer Clubhouse in Sunnydale. We have the Bayshore School Club. That is our newest site.
Okay.
And then we also have Visitation Valley Clubhouse, our Boys and Girls Club of San Francisco Beacon at Carver Elementary, our Boys and Girls Clubs of San Francisco Beacon at Malcolm X Academy Elementary.
Oh, okay.
As well as our Willie Mays Clubhouse at Hunters Point.
That's a lot.
Yes, we do. So
that's
we
a lot.
It is. It's a lot. And we, you know, we are out here in the community in different areas across the city. Mm-hmm. So there more than likely will be a clubhouse close to your where your family lives or where your children go to school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got the summer coming up.
Yes.
Where parents, you know, the kids are going to be home and the parents are going to be away. So what are some of the programs that you encourage parents to look into for their kids, you know, when their kids have downtime? Because they say that kids forget like most stuff over the summer, you know, education wise.
Yes, definitely. So we have education liaisons at all of our clubhouses. So we have people that are there to keep up with the academics for the summer.
Okay.
So we have tutoring. We have STEM programming as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our education liaisons can also speak to families and inquire about like what type of academic support they need during the summer. Mm-hmm. So we have some kids that would like to improve their reading.
Mm-hmm.
Others would like to improve their mathematics and just kind of stay on track and mm-hmm. stay ahead for the school year.
And then what about those kids that the last thing they want to do over the summer is study? Do you have any programs for them?
Yeah, so in addition to, of course, our academic support programming, we have really fun, exciting things such as field trips.
Ooh.
We have a special music program called Notes for Notes.
Ooh, what is that?
Yeah, so our Notes for Notes program, our club members have access to high-quality music studios where they can work with professional music instructors to learn a new instrument and write and record music.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's personally one of my favorite programs. Yes.
Yeah, kids love making music.
Absolutely.
That's
and
awesome.
Then we also have a collaboration with the Giants. So we have junior Giants at the clubhouses. So every summer, Major League Baseball brings the Junior Giants program to club members, giving mm-hmm. them the chance to experience the joys of baseball, mm-hmm. be active outdoors, mm-hmm. build new friendships, and learn good sportsmanship. And then we also have our swim academy at our Don Fisher Clubhouse. We have an amazing swimming pool with even more amazing and dedicated staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we do offer swim lessons and then also free recreational swim. If you are a member at our Don Fisher Clubhouse and some of our other clubhouses, we'll visit the Don Fisher Clubhouse. So they also have access to the swimming pool as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So let's say you're a kid who's not six, you're maybe a teenager, and can you sign up yourself, or do you need your parents to sign you up?
Yes, we still need parents to sign up, even our teens, because there's waivers and things, and they're still minors.
Can a grandparent sign them up? Or?
Yeah, as long as they're the legal guardian, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Yes,
okay. Okay.
Yes, but we do have dedicated teen programming as well. We have special academic support and college readiness for our teens, and then also career development. Some of our teens are able to do our LIT program, which is leadership and training. San Francisco School District has a volunteer requirement for high school students, so they're able to complete those hours with us as well.
Okay. And then for the kids who come into the program, what are the safety things that are in place? Because, parents, they're dropping their kids off and, you just have no idea. It's a crazy world in which we live. So what are the things that make the parents go, okay, I feel comfortable about leaving my child here for several hours?
Yes, no, that's an excellent question. And thank you so much for asking that question. All of our staff have been background checked and fingerprinted. So we all undergo safety training. We do a lot of extensive training to make sure the kids are safe. Our goal and mission for each person is to keep our youth first. So everything and anything that keeps youth first and safe is what all of our staff abide by.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What would you say is one of the more popular programs amongst the kids?
I would say our swimming. Swimming is a big one because it's something that's not only do the kids love, also family loves that as well, because there's, as we know, there's very few swimming pools in San Francisco. And because we have such a great team who run the swim program, kids are really able to develop their skills. And another one that's kind of one of our newer offerings that is equally amazing is our SF All-Star Sports Camps.
Okay.
So this summer we will be running our basketball and soccer camps, which both youth and families are very excited about, similar to our swim programming. Members who are in our sports camps are able to really develop their skills, and a lot of our youth who are part of the sports camps do play competitive basketball and soccer, as well as volleyball.
Okay.
So just taking a week to join our sports camps, they've seen a really big improvement and feel ready to try out for sports teams at their school or in other community leagues.
Very cool. Very
cool.
Now tell me about a program that is either new or maybe just people don't know as much about it as you guys would like them. I wish more people would come to this.
Yeah, I would say that was going to be our SF All-Star Sports Camps. That's our newer ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So we actually have our soccer camp coming up in June next month. So that's June 22nd to the 26th. We have the boys camp starting from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and our girls camp beginning from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And we are serving grades 3rd through 8th grade, and that will be at Mission High School. You can absolutely register. We still have spots available. They do fill up quickly, so please register as soon as possible.
Okay.
Our basketball camp will be July 13th through the 17th, and that is also for youth in grades 3rd through 8th. And that begins at 10 a.m. through 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. And then I'm curious, what do you have for the super youngins? You say that they're as young as six. So what do they do when they come into the program?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a program called Power Hour, where the athletic directors at each clubhouse organize really fun activities for them in the gym. And then we also have our art programming is something that's really popular amongst the younger kids. We have absolutely amazing, talented art directors. And the smaller kids really love doing the art projects. That's what I've noticed and feedback that I've heard from our families that the younger kids really love the arts.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. And then I know that there are a lot of kids who don't necessarily have all the skills to manage big emotions. So do you have any staff that can sort of shepherd them through, like, maybe not having anger issues or depression issues or things like that?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. That is a really important question. And the answer is yes. We have behavioral health specialists at all of our clubhouses. So those are dedicated individuals working directly with kids to talk through emotions and big emotions, small emotions, mental health issues, anything that comes up. It's open door policy. We make sure all the youth at our clubhouses are aware that they can always come up to any staff, but especially our behavioral health specialists.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Now, for the parents who are out there thinking this is perfect, how do they go about getting involved with Boys and Girls Club of San Francisco? Do they need to sign up? Where do they sign up? Who do they talk to? What's the procedure?
Okay, amazing question. So yes, you're going to go to our website, which is www.kidsclub.org/register. Mm-hmm. And on there, that is where you register for our programs. That's where you register to be a club member, and then also where you would register for swim lessons as well as our SF All-Star sports camps.
Very cool. Very cool.
And then also, of course, you can reach out to me directly. My email is amensa@kidsclub.org. So please send me an email and I'm more than happy to help you with registration and answer any questions you have.
You're going to want to spell that for our listening audience?
Yes, absolutely. So it's amensa@kidsclub.org.
Excellent. And if there is one message you wanted to send out to everyone, what would that be?
Well, we would love to see you at our clubhouses this summer. We're really excited. And also Camp Mendocino, that is our overnight summer camp. Mm-hmm. I hope I just have a few seconds to talk about Camp Mendocino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So our Camp Mendocino is our overnight outdoor education environmental awareness program, which is focused on character and leadership development. We start at age 8, so it's from ages 8 through 17. We have so many fun activities, including ropes course, zip line, archery, swimming, mountain bikes, arts and crafts, talent shows, and much more. And you can register for Camp Mendocino at our website, which is campmendocino.org. We do have 7 sessions this summer, beginning June 20th, and our last session is July 30th.
Excellent. Well, Amira Mensa, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, DJ Marilyn. I really appreciate it.
All right. People of Earth, if you have some kids, they won't have to be ripping and running around in the streets. They can go to some place where they will be engaged and they will be protected. So this sounds amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to be speaking with a person who probably would have benefited from Boys and Girls Clubs of San Francisco when they were youth. They're going to be talking about their show at the Marsh called Flight Risk. So do stay tuned.
Escucha mi oración, óyeme bien, oye mi oración. Agayú, agayú, óyeme bien.
Celia Cruz and Ojeme Agayu. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. As I mentioned before, there is a show happening at the Marsh called Flight Risk. Here to talk about Flight Risk is the solo performer of said piece, Carol Kleiss. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit first about you and your backstory, because I know this is about your backstory.
I had never told anyone, including my family, my husband or my children. They knew that I did not grow up with my family.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know the total story. And I took a writing class about 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Called Write Your Life. And I started writing about what happened to me at the age of 12, and just kept going from there.
Okay.
This was a story that people told me I needed to get out there. So I ended up at the Marsh doing one of their risings and was asked to do this more than once.
Mm.
So it's basically, I'm your average kind of person. I am married. I have three children. I've had various careers over the year. Coach sports, was a martial art instructor, worked in offices. And so now I'm telling this story.
And what is this story?
The story is, at the age of 12, I was sent to live in a group home for girls because my mother had passed away and my father had left.
Mm.
And there were five children in the family and we were split up.
Wow.
And at the group home, the house father turned out he had molested the girls.
Ugh.
And I decided not to be one of his victims. So I ran away, ended up in juvenile court, and the judge sent me to juvenile correction because she said that I was incorrigible.
Mm-hmm.
And what incorrigible means is you cannot be amended, reformed, or corrected.
Oh.
So I asked the director of juvenile correction, if that was the case, what was I doing in juvenile correction? What I didn't know was that was temporary. And the place that I was going to end up was the state mental hospital.
Wow.
And I would live there for the rest of my life. So I made the decision to run away. And I did.
Okay.
So I was 12 years old, ran away from juvenile detention, got on a train. My first stop was, had no idea where I was going or what I was going to do when I got there. But got on a train, got off in Trenton, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And my first job was in the kitchen of a restaurant to wash dishes.
At 12?
You could stay working. It didn't matter how old you were. But you were supposed to have a health permit. And if you didn't, and the health inspectors came around, then you had to run. And then you could always find another job. And so over the years, I had many different jobs. Even worked as a migrant worker with Mexican people. And worked for mafia boss in his authentic Italian restaurant. Worked in Atlantic City. So it each part of the story is where I went, what I did, and the people that I met. Doing this as a show at the Marsh, it's a solo show, I am doing probably 28 characters.
Wow. What I find incredible is that they declared you incorrigible at the age of 12, given that you had just had this massive trauma in your life. And I'm sure you probably, did you tell them that this guy was a molester, or did you just think they're not going to believe me anyway, so why bother?
One of the older girls at the home, when you turned 18 in foster care, mm-hmm. you were turned out. And one of the older girls told me that, you know, she had turned 18 and she was leaving. And so she told me, if the foster father comes to your room, don't answer the door. Push your dresser against the door.
Wow.
Do not answer the door. And when I asked her why she didn't tell her social worker, she said, trust me, nobody will believe a kid.
Wow. Wow. And but also the part where the judge decides that at age 12, you're to be thrown on the refuse heap. That blows my mind.
What's really interesting about this is that it's still happening.
Right.
So many kids fall through the social safety network if they don't have an advocate, if they end up in juvenile court.
Mm-hmm. So then tell me, at any point in this, in your, from 12 to 18, did you have anyone advocating for you that you could trust?
No. For the first 3 years, when I first ran away from juvenile correction, I dressed as a boy. The first 3 years, I was a boy.
Okay.
And the reason for that was because it was safer
yes.
to be a boy.
Obviously.
And it was easier to get a job as a boy.
Okay. Okay. Why did you switch from being a boy to being a girl? Was it that you could no longer pass as a boy, or you just, what changed?
No, when I was working with the migrant workers, picking crops in a field in New Jersey, mm-hmm. The woman that I had hooked up with and had 2 children, the bosses or jefes that they called them,
mm-hmm.
Were, raping the women. And nobody said anything. And I thought, if they find out I'm a girl, what are they going to do to me? The woman that I spent my time with, she and her daughter were attacked, and I ran, got on a bus. And when I got off the bus, there was a sign outside the bus station that they were looking for a girl to work in the kitchen of an authentic Italian restaurant.
Okay.
And I said, I'm a girl, but I don't have any girls' clothes. And there happened to be a Goodwill drop box near there. And so I got a few clothes, went into the restroom, and became a girl. And you know, I was 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense. I didn't want to be a boy anymore.
Got it. And then you worked for a mafia boss, and what was that like?
Well, I was very naive. I didn't know a whole lot about anything. And so the mafia boss, that was in New Jersey. That was the job I applied for as a girl, to work in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew, like, his father had an ice cream truck that didn't have any ice cream.
Okay. Sorry.
I would see guys get in the ice cream truck at night, and they would go away with him, but I'd never see them again. And my boss, Macy, was an ex-con.
Uh-huh.
And he was an excellent cook. And when I asked him where he went to cook with his cooking school, he said up the river, same place he got his tattoos. And I said, well, maybe I could go to that cooking school. And he said, no, you don't want to go to that cooking school.
Wow.
And anyway, they don't take women.
Oh, wow.
So I was riding around with Paul, the mafia boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pick up stacks of money from different businesses and give them to him. And I was never supposed to look at that. And then all of a sudden things started to change. And I realized I was the only person that was allowed to wait on him and his friends.
Uh-huh.
In his private bunker under the restaurant. And he said his friends were members of his club called the Cosa Nostra. And I didn't know what that meant.
Sure.
And so it was, you know, it was an interesting. My boss, Macy, the chef,
uh-huh.
Didn't come to work one morning, and you know, Paul made me the chef.
Okay.
I was 16 at that point. And I thought, this is really weird. And Macy had left me a note in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
In my apron pocket, to let me know that he was going for a ride in the ice cream truck.
Macy.
That I needed to get out of there, that Cosa Nostra was not a nice Italian club.
Wow. I could talk to you for hours. So this show is clearly amazing. It's called Flight Risk.
Yes.
Oh my, I have so many questions and no time to ask. Here's my main question, which is, given how tumultuous your upbringing was and your life, at what point were you able to start trusting people?
Right before I turned 18, the last job I had was working I worked in the laundry at the county hospital,
mm-hmm.
in Chatsford, Pennsylvania, which was right next door to the county prison. And I rented a room in the assistant warden's house.
Okay.
And my boss was the only black man that I saw in that area.
Uh-huh.
And after I'd been working with him for a while, I trusted him. So I told him, you know, my story.
Uh-huh.
And he helped me. Like, I didn't have ID. I didn't have a birth certificate or anything like that.
Right.
So he helped me get those things.
Okay. Your life is incredible. When and where for Flight Risk Because this sounds amazing. Just talking about your life.
To me, it's, I never told people this story after I turned 18. And the reason was because I was embarrassed. When I would meet people and they would say, you know, where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? All this stuff. Because I had not been in a schoolroom since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
But I always read and learning. I was learning in jobs. I was learning to measure things. I was learning, you know, math. I was learning all kinds of things. And what I realized the first time I met some people my own age and they asked me these questions and I started to say I've been on my own, they would have different reactions. It would either be they felt sorry for me, they were afraid of me, or they didn't know how to react. They didn't know how to react. And I realized from then on that I could not tell the truth.
I understand. Well, we are almost out of time, so let our listening audience know when you'll be performing Flight Risk.
Okay, so I will be performing Flight Risk at the Marsh Berkeley on starting opening on Saturday, May 30th at 5 p.m., and then June 6th, June 12th, June 30th, all at 5 p.m. And the Berkeley Marsh, you can go to the Berkeley Marsh website to get tickets.
Excellent.
TheBerkeleyMarsh.org.
All right. Well, Carol Kleiss, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm going to have you back on because your life sounds amazing. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, and please come to the show. Love to see you there.
I would love to go see it. All right. People of Earth, this is an amazing day. We've had amazing guests today. If you're not out there going to enjoy or listen or take it in, it's because you're making a conscious decision. It's time for me to turn the mic over. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
I was alone so long. I didn't even know that I was lonely. Out in the cold. I didn't need